Welcome to the podcast. Again, I'm still trying to get things figured out. And so this is a podcast with Christian Gideon, where we're over the phone, and I don't love the way the audio has come out. So I've tried to fix it as much as I can, but please give me a little bit of grace. What Christian has to say is incredible, and I can't wait for you guys to hear it. Here you go. Hey guys, welcome back to the podcast. I'm still here with Christian Gideon. We are going to dive into the topic, the hot topic of social media, and also kind of finding your niche. Christian has done a lot of everything, but I feel like the kind of the recent signature where he's kind of defined himself has been specifically in soccer. He's obviously capable in a lot of other sports, shooting sports, but it seems like what I've really fallen in love with his work has been not just your soccer images, but even your like storytelling in and around it. I'm like a Midwestern American, and I played soccer growing up, but what's so cool for me is that you give context. So like a lot of your photo sets on Twitter will be like, hey, I'm shooting soccer, but this is the neighborhood of the people that are going to the soccer game. I mean, that to me is so much more powerful than like, oh, here's a beautiful five key light image of Neymar or something like that. So yeah, I don't know where that leads us in, but why don't we start? Tell me, we just talked about it in the last podcast, but give me another like 2 minute intro on how you got into soccer.
Yeah, so started shooting just, you know, whatever I could get my hands in on 4 or 5 years ago, and trying to bring an editorial meets documentary approach, kind of that, you know, classic photojournalism mixed with more of the sexy, you know, editorial magazine type images, and got a couple lucky breaks from people seeing that work and started doing some freelance work for an ad agency in Manhattan who just like gave me unbelievable amounts of opportunities to create. And from there, start launching this creative agency that will come out in the next week or two. Still doing some of the freelance, but yeah, like connections have really been huge for me. You know, like I like to think I'm a talented guy, but had some really cool connections that have allowed me to go from like zero to 100, you know?
I want you to speak to this a little bit. One of the things that's one of the coolest parts about photography is that it's like photography plus something that you're passionate about. So like I know some people that love horses and their photography portfolio is like half, you know, families in parks in the fall. And then the other half of them is like horses, or somebody loves lilies and they just have this like really deep dive work of like photographing lilies, which is mind boggling to me because I have no interest in lilies. Right. So one of the coolest parts is like you mix two things you love. There's a lot of dudes that love hot chicks, and so their work is like mainly hot chicks. So it's really fun for me to see photographers mature, and maybe it's phases, but you know somebody finds that they really love interiors or they really love architectural work. So like, have you always been a soccer guy, or did you kind of fall into it, or how'd that work?
Yeah, so if we're talking about like just the evolution of what I you know, shoot, film, anything there. I grew up playing sports in the Midwest, but basketball was always my thing. And soccer was like a thing I would watch when the World Cup was on. But as I got older, you know, like I've always had an obsession with sociology and what drives people to make things, fall in love, kill people, any like the human condition, I guess.
Yeah.
And for me, when I started getting into sports work, like soccer or football tells the human condition, and the edges of the sport have that more than any other sport. So for me, it was a natural landing point to jump into, because great, like you said, I was able to shoot the pitch work, the sexy, beautiful, high name athletes, but also show, you know, maybe the working class neighborhood next to the stadium and the way the fans, you know, would approach the game. And for me moving forward, like I've got to have both. The you know, the more I figure out who I am as an artist, I have to have a why behind my images. You know, sometimes I still shoot one-on-one portraits, and I'll get people that hit me up like, hey, where did you find this model? And I'll be like, that's just one of my friends who I think is a lovely person and super attractive. You know what I mean? Like, so there's a why, you know, behind almost everything I do. Sometimes it's a small why. Sometimes it's as you know, simple as asking one of my amazing friends, like, hey, can I photograph you? Yeah. And then sometimes it's sending a, you know, earth-shattering, beautiful, unbelievably huge pitch to an outlet. So I think it's necessary, where however you scale what you're making on, to have that why behind it.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah. Yep.
So I think that's the common denominator in all my work, is that curiosity has drawn me in for one reason or another, you know?
So for a lot of, I think that the majority of people that follow me as a creative are kind of family photographers or wedding photographers. Mm-hmm. And one of the things, so you and I had this phone call a year and a half ago, something like that. And one of the things that I was really impressed with is we were talking to kind of about my wedding work, and you were kind of just going through seeing a bunch of success in your soccer work. And one of the things you challenged me to do was like, make a pitch in an area that I'm passionate about and like go for it. And so right. one of the things that I've thought about since then is like, and especially talking to other people, is like, yeah, so you love horses, like the same thing you told me, like figure out who you need to talk to.
Absolutely.
Come up with the idea, and then you got to swing, you know what I mean? At some point you got to like jump and go for it, right? And it seems like at that point, that's when you start to like figure out who you want to be in your niche. But there has to be like, it's, you weren't sitting around and all of a sudden somebody from Manhattan calls you and is like, hey, I know you've never done soccer before, but we think you might have a good eye. It's like, no, you pursued Sporting KC. Like, you put the work out first.
Right. Yeah.
Nobody goes into McDonald's and orders a steak. You just don't. No, people hire you to do what you already do.
Dude, they do. The law of attraction is a real thing. And I think that as a society, we have become obsessed with the overnight success, celebrity, you know, myth-making and lore. And that's, you know, that's what we're seem to be obsessed with as a society. And like, it's just not a thing. The overnight success, the overnight, you know,
yeah,
from 0 to 100, or from rich to poor, rags to riches, whatever, like, it's a myth for the most part. And especially in an industry like this, where, you know, you may have a lucky break, you may make an amazing image, but can you do it again? And then can you do it the next week? And then can you uncover another story? And can you consistently produce? And if you think that you're going to be an overnight success, maybe you do capture that one image, but this is a career. I'm in career mode. You know, I want to look back in 20 years and look at all the projects I made. And it's never been about that one thing for me. And it's just continued growth. You know what I'm saying? So I think that social media and viral content has really done a damage to people's, you know, long-term and short-term goals and how you go about them.
But, and what I like about your story is that, just like you're saying, it wasn't a like, there were lucky breaks, but you set this trajectory. You know what I mean? You said, I'm going to start shooting soccer. And then it kept going. And then you took the next biggest step. And then here, launching this agency, that's the next biggest step. So there's risk all along. But I mean, I had a dude call me the other day and he said, hey, I want to go full time in photography. I was like, okay, cool. Awesome. What did you make last year? And he goes,
really?
$600. It's like, you're not ready to go full time.
Not even close.
So it's like, that, it isn't a magic pill. He shot some cool stuff last year, but he needs to work on charging, figuring out how, you know, value yourself. And so, dude, you've been preparing for this moment for 10 years, and you've been preparing for this moment for specifically for 5 years and for 3 years and for 1 year. And, you know, so there is risk involved, but it isn't stupid risk.
No, it's more taking, it's more having a confidence in the skills you've acquired.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I heard a quote one time, I think it was a rap lyric. I'm trying to remember who it was. It said, you know, you have your whole life to make your first album. And I, you know, this agency I'm launching is that debut album. It's, hey, I finally have taken all my skill sets and vision and mistakes and learned from those and built something into a brand. And, you know, you hear a lot about personal brands in the industry and, you know, branding yourself and all this stuff. And everybody goes, or, you know, wants to get a logo and a website and a Facebook page, and they build this brand before they've done any work. But I think what society is like wisening up to is like the work is the only thing that matters.
Yeah.
Like and you know, you've referenced some of my past work and how you can recognize a short film I've made or an image or something like that. And like, that's my brand, you know, and I care way more about what people think about my actual work than, you know, the graphic design or a following number or how many people my last Facebook post reads. Like, I don't even post to Facebook anymore. Like, because I don't, like, my brand is in my work. The people that want to find it will find it. And, you know, the connections I've made are 10 times more important than any branding that I'll ever come up with.
I love that.
You know what I'm saying?
I feel like we got to say that again because, dude, I have 6,000 Instagram followers. That's nothing. But
right.
I've made really good money. And my wife stays home with our kids. Like I have a great life. I get to travel the world, take photos. But it is not related to my Instagram number or likes. You know, it's like the other day, I think I posted and it was like 45 likes. I mean, but my relationships is why I keep booking. And it's like why the relationships that you've been allowed because of some of your work is like why this agency is there, you know?
It absolutely. And maintaining, that's as I've matured as an artist and as a person, maintaining those relationships, those connections that have made my career are everything. When those people need a favor, I'll do it right then and there. If they call, I pick up the phone, you know? Posting to Instagram and Facebook and looking at metrics does little to nothing for me. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like little to nothing. And we should, I mean, if you're up for it, we should talk about that some more because I have
Let's jump in about
like social. Yeah.
Okay.
So I don't want to get too ranty, but like some, I don't think that's a word, but I just made it one.
It is.
Speaking of other little like things that have been stuck in my head, somebody told me this about social media like 3 years ago. And I swear on everything. It changed my whole outlook. And they said, stop trying to impress people that wouldn't even come to your funeral. And it just hit me like a lightning bolt. Like, that is the truest shit I have ever heard in my life.
Yeah.
And we're all going around making this art and this content. I hate the word content, but, you know, to get people to like, to go viral. And it's so thirsty and shallow. And I went through a phase about 2 years ago where I unfollowed, like, I went from like following 800 people on Instagram to like 200, and I unfollowed close friends. I unfollowed, you know, people in the industry. And it basically came down to, if I don't have a relationship with you or your work doesn't show me something that I haven't seen before, like I have no reason to let you into my mind and give you my attention, you know?
Yeah.
Our attention is the most valuable thing we have. And I realized that as a creator, you're either being entertained or you're entertaining, and you can't do both. And in this consumption society, I really pushed back and tried to say, like, I'm gonna make instead of consume. And it's made all the difference in the world. You know, you hear people use the word, like the word inspire, for example. You'll get on, you know, get on social media and see an artist's work and say, it's inspiring. Well, it might make you feel good and you might enjoy that art, but if it's not pushing you to create something of your own, that's not necessarily being inspired. That's feeling good from consuming. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it's just been huge for me. And I've had people get pissed off that I unfollowed them. I've had people like message me, people get salty. I was recently like, I can't use too many specifics here, but recently kind of interested in a romantic relationship and it was kind of fizzling out. So I unfollowed that person because I wanted to protect what I see on the internet. I didn't want to see things that would make me feel anything negative. And this person's a great person. So like it has nothing to do with them. But they did get kind of upset.
Yeah.
And it was like, hey, you know, like I'm willing to like converse, like I'm willing to talk about these things, do like real life, like communication about why, but like if that upsets you, then that's like, it's very off-putting. You know what I'm saying? And people, I think that we think we have people's attention through social media and we stop taking care of the people that are in the same room as us. You know what I mean?
From literally. Yeah. You're a dad. Yeah. Like literally we stop taking care of the people that are in the same room.
Right. Like, and that's my thing is I have a very, very, very tight circle of friends. And their whole influence on my life, and I hope my influence on their life comes from what happens on the phone and when we spend time together. You know what I'm saying? And like that word influencer, I think it's the biggest misnomer in our society. Because they should be called entertainers. They're the, you know, those type of people on social media are there to entertain.
Yeah.
And, you know, I realized that the people I would take a bullet for, the people that get me out of bed in the morning, the people that amplify my ideas and I amplify theirs, like that's all that really matters. And I don't have time for like infinite scrolling to see new things. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And I know it sounds like old man, get off my lawn, but like that whole mindset has like changed and is probably the biggest driver of my like growth as an artist.
Because you're doing work instead of thinking about work. I ended up unfollowing a handful of people the other day and used this metric of like, does this make me feel good or not? It's like I'm spending, you know, I just looked at my phone while you were talking, like an hour and 3 minutes a day on Instagram. It is one of the main sources of inspiration in my life.
Right.
So I need to protect that. If you're spending 2 or 3 hours on your phone a day on this thing.
And everybody is, that's the thing.
Correct.
Like, everybody really is.
You have to protect what you're seeing. And if you are following people that you keep stacking yourself up against and it's causing unhealthy thoughts or feelings, you owe it to yourself to unfollow those people, even if that's like your your best friend or something like that, because it's not worth. Okay, have you ever used Internet Explorer on your computer when you're not connected to the internet? It's worthless.
No. Right,
Instagram
right.
is worthless if you're not following anybody. It isn't anything. It isn't even. It's a functioning program, but we choose our own content and we choose what we get to see. So we're not a victim of anyone other than ourselves.
Absolutely. And that's another thing on Twitter or Instagram. People talk, you know, they talk about social media induced anxiety and it, but we don't talk about like we chose to do this to ourselves. And we all assume that we're kind of looking at the same things on social media, which is absolutely not true.
Yeah.
Absolutely not true. I did a thing about 2 years ago where I stopped following almost anybody that did work even close to the same vein as I did. One, because I don't want to compare myself, right?
Yeah.
I don't compare myself to other people. That's, you know, you've heard that quote, that's that like comparison is the thief of joy. And I believe that. The other thing is I don't want it to influence my work. I want to make work that comes from the heart and not the mind, you know? And if I'm seeing other people work that are similar to mine, I'm going to reference that, whether I like it or not. I'm going to reference it. And then I'm watering down my own work. And it's just, we think that we're all looking at the same feed, and it's totally different. And when I really curated what I take in on Twitter and Instagram, like, it changed my life. I started looking at artists in other mediums.
Yeah.
I started looking at writers, poets. And it brought me so much joy and growth. And, you know, the other thing is when you keep those follower numbers low, you run out of content to scroll. So you just have to get off your phone.
Yeah.
So I'm a big proponent of protecting that attention and keeping that follower number like super, super low. Anything I can do to go ahead.
Then, you know, personally, because I've talked to you a little bit on social media and you've always been incredibly kind. So what's interesting too is that you've got 40,000 Instagram followers, something like that, and I bet you had more at some point. There's a weird part. I've got a good friend and she's got 60, and if she does work on social media for the day, she'll answer 200 or 300 messages a day from people that she doesn't owe anything to. She gets no money out of it automatically. You know, like she can leverage her influence.
Right.
But I mean, that's just such a crazy part of this. You know, you have no reason to talk to me. And so it's like, right, there's a mixture of like, you've been really good to me, but that doesn't necessarily mean that you owed me anything.
Nobody owes anybody anything. The whole, you know, when you text me the other day about doing this podcast, I think that, you know, I was like, let's do it.
Yeah.
Because we have, you know, it's not extensive, but our communication in the past has always been like super positive and sometimes short, sometimes brief, but like
there you by is accident a, FaceTime call me every once in a while, which is really funny to me.
Do I really?
Yeah.
I do that to several people. I guess I got to get thicker pants or something. But yeah, we build up some collateral like in real life or over the phone, you know, in actual real conversation. And I think sometimes I come off as an ass to some people in my DMs. You know, I'll get somebody who is like very direct and aggressive. Like, how did you shoot this? What did you make? Like, please list it out for me. And I I don't want to be like mean, but I'll definitely be like,
bro.
Yeah, I'll just be like, nah. You know, I troll people a little bit, like, nah. Like, as a way of saying, like, do better. You know? Yeah. Like, yeah. I don't know you. Like,
a little foreplay would be nice.
Like, right,
throw
right.
My back or something.
Exactly. Right. At least tell me I'm cute. But, you know, I think society, we just don't. You got to give your attention to people who are earning collateral. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And vice versa. You have to do that to other people. Like, this isn't all about me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, and I think when you ask me about the podcast, you're like, I don't know if you'd want to do it. I'm like, no, like, you know, we have a good rapport going here. Like, I'd absolutely love to do it.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's just it's one of those things. We were given this crazy tool with social media and no instructions, you know, and we're the first generation to it's ruined lives. It's ruined marriages. It's ruined creative fields. Like it's wild that, you know, you give humans any tool and they will figure out a way to be destructive with it sooner or later. You know, like that's just throughout history. Like that's a common theme. Like give somebody a tool to make something amazing and humans will without fail figure out a way to screw it up. So
what it seems like, I mean, my guess is that early on social media played a bigger role in your work, where now it's like, dude, if you're pitching to soccer execs or Nike or Puma, you have to have a threshold of some. I mean, you can't have 15 followers, but the chances of somebody from, you know, the CEO of Nike scrolling through his phone and all of a sudden landing on your page and then hiring you for a $2 million job because of your Instagram, it's like, I just believe those days are over. I believe that just isn't. I mean, today I'm so suspect of anybody with a lot of followers.
Absolutely.
Because you're like, that's not real. You can manage 40 to 50,000 followers. That's about it. Much more than that. And it's like, oh gosh. You have to have we have to play a social media game for some sort of credibility.
For sure. For sure.
But I feel bad for somebody that all their eggs are in that basket. Especially with the censoring of certain thoughts and ideas and, you know, the Patreon space or things like that. It's just, it's really scary to have all your eggs in an Instagram basket or a Twitter basket or something like that.
Yeah, it really is. In just like real world, like continuing that thought you have, like when I first started shooting some work for Adidas, like the only thing they care about is, can you recreate the work you've done in the past in the vein that we want it? Can you deliver on time? Can you show up to this game event and be professional and represent us? Like,
yeah,
your work gets you in the door, but like, that's it. You know what I'm saying? Like, so the higher I've moved up the food chain in terms of clients I've worked with, like the less they give a damn about any social media presence you have, you know what I'm saying? And I don't, like, I see a lot of younger people in my city and just all over who are chasing clout and wanting to be seen, but they're being wanting to be seen by their peers. And you know what? Your peers don't hire you. Like, that's the thing. For the most part, unless it's maybe like the wedding industry,
yep,
your peers are not the one that are going to buy your art, pay your bills, give you assignments.
Yeah.
And at some point you have to put your, you know, your adult mindset on and say, like, who do I need to spend my time making sure they see my work, you know?
Yeah.
And it's just wild to me that this is so common sense to me as a creator, that but we are so pulled in that to our phones and to those likes, and that's all, you know, engineered to do exactly that, but it seems so simple.
But it becomes,
as a creator, to get around that, you know?
I'm all for creating things that are you and your vision. I mean, I get that. But the work that you do has been really, really beautiful because you're representing the people that you're shooting well. So it's like you're shooting soccer with the Christian Gideon treatment, like through the eyes of Christian Gideon. Where I think that when you chase social media, what you do is you start to use people. So I start to think like, hey, if I shot with this girl, that'd play really well. And so instead of saying like, hey, I want to actually represent her, I'm saying I want to use her for my clout.
Dude, that is like, first of all, thank you for that compliment, because that's honestly the most like fulfilling compliment somebody could give me, is that my work represents the people in front of the camera.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That is so true. And people's bullshit filters are up now. We know what's real and what's fake.
Yeah.
Like through social media. And that is the whole reason I'm not trying to plug myself, but I'm trying to show you my journey, like that I've started this agency. It's because the stories I want to tell, the vision I have, does not rely upon my name at all. It relies upon the people I'm doing this with.
Yeah.
And the people that and the stories we are going to chase. You know what I'm saying?
And, we want those stories.
That's what it's all about. Right?
It just isn't. It's cool. It's cool when people recognize you. I was in a concert in the Quad Cities, like 3 or 2.5 hours away. I was walking in and some girl was like, oh my gosh, are you Justin Salem Meyer? And I laughed because that is cool. But I don't think in 20 years I want somebody looking at a photo album of their wedding and being like, remember Justin Salem Meyer? No, I want them to look at themselves and see themselves and feel accurately represented in the photos that I take of them. If I'm shooting for myself purely, it so taints my work. And like you said, people's bullshit meter is like crazy. And you know it, and people end up despising you. So sometimes if you're wondering like why your work isn't getting anywhere, or why it sucks, or why you're creating beautiful work but nobody cares, it's probably because you may be a shitty person or selfish in this stuff.
It's true. And to like piggyback on that and finish your thought, like again, in my real world experience, I first started going to New York for work a lot about 6 years ago. And I was a little insecure about being this person from flyover country with a little bit of a accent, you know, showing up in these meetings and these huge environments. And like one thing I noticed when I would be on shoots is I try to be a very humble and appreciative person. That's just my nature. I mean, I can be super cocky sometimes as well, but like I'm always appreciative, you know, I'm always appreciative. And I started noticing that when you know, there's been this vision of like, the photographer for Vogue or editorial in the past, it's almost like a tyrant where they are directing and they are like, they're the megalomaniac on set. You know, they are, everything is, the light has to be this way, and you're ordering around assistants and you're ordering around models and you're shouting and you're in your black turtleneck, you know, like, and you're just, and it's your show. And I started realizing, like, I can just be myself, speak calmly but assertively to my models, to my assistants, to, you know, creative on set. And at the end of the day, like, people appreciate that to no end. And then they rehire you because, you know, hopefully your work is going to be up to a certain standard. But people want to work with people they are friends with.
Yeah, they do.
You know what I'm saying? And so much, I'm so grateful because so many of the opportunities I've had have been just like working with friends that have put me on, you know? And like, what greater gift than to get to go travel and shoot an assignment? And then at the end of the day, like, go have a beer with like the producer or the creative director or whoever that is because you like them as a human being.
Yep.
You know? Like, I'm a single dude. Like, if I just go travel all the time and don't meet people and don't like come into their world and vice versa, like, being a tyrant is going to get lonely really fast.
Really fast.
You know? So I think that's another thing, just, and we're talking about all the psyche of social media, is people undervalue how much people want to work with people they like and are friends with.
Yeah.
You know?
I've just been on this tirade recently where it's like, your social media, it just doesn't last very long if it doesn't represent you. And your insecurity comes out. Your relationship with like any unfulfilled desires comes out in your work. So I've had buddies who have been really discontent, and it's just so evident in their work. Or I've got people that are kind of, they're so insecure because they're comparing themselves to somebody else, and then their work, it's just so evident. And so I think that at the core, the best thing you can do for your work and for your social media life is like, do that inner work that you need to do on your own. And then live. And then, you know, so it's like representing yourself on social media becomes less of a chore, but it's like you do the things on social media that you like, as opposed to doing, trying to find this formula. So it's like, for me, I am not a hashtag guy. I get it that I could be way more discovered, but it seems so insincere if I do too much of it. And I found that I don't care about a whole bunch of followers. I care about actually making money. And
well, the people that are like, let's like talk about the other side. Anybody that's obsessively scrolling a hashtag on Instagram, like, we're probably not going to have the same worldview anyway. I don't really care if they discover my work, you know, like somebody that's literally clicking on a hashtag and scrolling, like, odds are that we're in two different mindsets. So yeah. Why would I care if they see my work, you know?
Yeah.
That's like people just we've developed, like I said, you give us any tool and we'll figure out a way to like misuse it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And again, it's, I think often it's because we're profoundly insecure and the tool just starts being an extension of the terribleness that lives inside of us.
Well, and that's what's been so wild to me is I've been really, like, the past 2 months, I've spent a lot of time on the road and really mulling over how I can use social media to show more of the insecurities and hardship in my life without putting on a, like, feeling like I'm in the Truman Show.
Yeah.
It's so funny that, you know, we do project our deepest insecurities, but we don't talk, it's like, I think there's a way to talk about your insecurities as an artist. You know, you go through my social media, you'll see some captions that are pretty deep and especially Twitter, like, hard hitting and maybe things that are taboo to talk about on social media.
Yeah.
But it's that's what's so wild to me is it's like people, that kind of stuff is off limits. But in making it off limits, we ultimately see those insecurities come out in like the wrong way.
Correct.
You know what I'm saying?
I would much rather see it.
Go ahead.
Well, I think that by me being actually content in the inside of me, it's freed me up to post about whatever I want to. And then what happens is that becomes, that actually cuts through and it's refreshing for people.
Absolutely.
Because it's, it's actually me. And so you end up, I end up getting better couples because I've more accurately represented myself online.
Absolutely. And I think you could, you can take that too far at times, but I think when you're working on yourself, it does come out. You know, it does manifest in what you want to share with the world or don't share with the world. Yeah. Like I said, I'm a big believer in, like, you know, laws of attraction and in real life, but also there is, there are ways, you know, I'm not over here saying all social media is evil. Delete your Instagram account. I'm just saying, like, use it as a tool to, like, best represent your dreams, insecurities, vision, but like who you really are, you know?
Yeah.
And it will attract people with the same, the same mindsets, you know? Yeah. And I've had people who have written me DMs who I've taken an hour to write them back, you know? But then I have people that'll just, you know, try to gain knowledge very, like, quickly, directly, and aggressively, and I just tell them to go to hell, you know? Like, yeah. I wouldn't really say that, but you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
So, I think that these, everything that I've said about life off of social media, there is a way to do it, you know? But we're all still kind of figuring it out, which is why this, like, this has been a great conversation.
Dude, I really appreciate it. I've got a, we're going to wrap up here, but I absolutely would love, if you ever have follow-up thoughts, I would love to talk more. If anybody has questions, hit me up, hit up Christian. If there's a follow-up we need to do, I'd be up for it. Dude, I thank you so much. You're doing incredible work. It's been really, really fun to follow you and have, I don't know, I have like a teeny bit of ownership of, like, I know this guy.
Back at you. Like, I appreciate, like, you taking a chance and doing this podcast. Like, that's scary.
Yeah. You know? Thank you.
It's scary. So.
No, you've always got a coffee or a beer in Des Moines if you want it. And take care, and we'll catch up soon. All right.
All right. Sounds good, man.